The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome to It Came From Radio. This is your host, Mara Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have our very own Charlie Saladino.
How's everybody doing?
And our very own Hassan Godwin will be gingerly walking in very soon. He's feeling much better, so hooray for him. He'll be back. And our Herman Shimsenercha is still missing in action in wherever Herman goes after he does weddings. Because you did mention that he had the wedding.
Oh my God, what a wedding. And what a wedding it was. A wedding to end weddings.
Because he's been talking about that wedding for at least 2-3 years.
Oh my God, it's like when you look in the dictionary on the weddings, you see Taryn and John's picture there.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air.
Tough.
You can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on our live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see us on the high definition web camera. Those of you who are listening to us live, that is. Because for those of you in the future who are listening to us in the past, can't see us on the webcam because this is all pre-recorded. And the phone number here is area code 61-888-8811. So I will once again take away with the news. Let's see. Well, we've been doing for the past month and a half, and start off with the sad news.
Start with the sad news, yeah. And this way, we can only go up.
Leo O'Brien, most famous for playing Bruce Leroy's little brother in the 1985 movie The Last Dragon, has died this past week.
Wow.
Details surrounding his death are unclear, but family members have reported the actor to be in failing health. O'Brien was only 41 years old. Did you ever see The Last Dragon there, Charlie? With showing off the glow and Bruce Leroy, where it was the black guy played the Chinese role and the Chinese guy played the black role.
Yes, yes.
Had what was that? Timac. Timac was in it, and they're actually talking about a remake of that movie.
Wow!
I ran into him at a convention. I think it was last year, and he's selling some health drink, health shake mixed drink.
Timac. Wow! Say that 5 times fast.
So you know, our condolences go out to his family and friends. And we're going to, I'm going to hold off on that one. Hold on that one. And there we go. Moving on to the not-so-sad news.
That's why it works well. We can only go up from there.
That's true, unless the news is not good at all. Disney finally announces that November 6th of the year 2015 will be the official release date for the new Ant-Man movie. This movie has been in production, quote-unquote, hell, since 2006. It was supposed to be one of the movies leading up to The Avengers that came out this year. So it was supposed to be Captain America. So instead of having an Iron Man 2, they were supposed to have Ant-Man, which would have been the other movie, to lead up to The Avengers. But now, finally, in 2015, we're only in 2012 right now. It's ending up. We're talking about 2015.
Well, the good thing the world ended, so,
yeah,
you know, they have time to do this.
The executives say, this movie is essentially a high-tech spy heist film with somebody with a very particular power, with a level of comedy on par with that of Iron Man. The idea is to make a high-concept genre film and where it's within another genre. His suit and power is the big gadget, and it takes place in the real world. I just wanted to do something that was slightly different than any other superhero origin film, and I felt that between that and the mad scientist, crazy doctor films that we've all seen, this would be a way into an origin that was slightly different. So they're looking at it to be a comedy, action-type thing in the vein of Iron Man, because Iron Man would be setting the standard of the new superhero movies.
Well,
are you familiar with Ant-Man?
Yeah.
It's a guy.
I'm familiar with Adamant, both the superhero and the singer. But whatever, I remember seeing Ant-Man, little guy there.
Yeah, he turns into the size of an ant, and then he also turns to a giant man. So that's
right.
That's what they do with that.
Which is a giant Ant-Man, which is a total oxymoron. Giant ant, that's like jumbo shrimp.
And he is one of the people that were the founding members of the Avengers, so the
consensus
was that he was supposed to be in the movie, but so what happened?
Well, we have to wait till 2015.
2015, yes. So moving along, Sony.
No baloney.
Reports that Richard Wenk, W-E-N-K, has been tapped to rewrite the He-Man and the Masters of the Universe script that's coming out. Attached to it for the director is John M. Chu, who is famous for making the film Step Up 3D and the pushback G.I. Joe movie that was supposed to come out this year, which is coming out next year.
So he stinks.
Well, I don't know yet. We haven't seen the G.I. Joe.
No, you said Step Up and G.I. Joe. So he stays.
Well, they made a fourth step-up movie. So
that, what does that mean?
The third one had to make money.
Huh? No, they made 13 Friday the 13th movies, okay? Were they all good?
Three of them were.
Yeah.
Three of them were.
Yeah. Three out of 13. That means there were 10 that were no good.
And for those of you who haven't been paying attention, Richard Wenk co-wrote the Expendables 2 movie, as well as the movie 16 Blocks. That was with
16 Blocks was good.
Yeah. And the upcoming Equalizer movie. So he's in his hand with a lot of things.
Robert Woodward is dead, and therefore there is no Equalizer.
That'd be Edward Woodward.
Yeah, whatever. As I said, he's dead.
Robert and Edward are both dead.
Robert, both of them are dead.
That's terrible.
I always used to do that, too. I never called him Edward, which is strange.
What was his character name, Robert, in the TV?
No, was it Jack McCall? His last name was McCall. I forgot what his first name was.
Couldn't even.
I don't know if it was Jack. It might have been Jack McCall.
I just remember the theme song.
Yes, everybody remembers that theme song. I have that on my iPod.
The Equalizer?
Da 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 da.
What was weird about that show was that guy was like 105, and he was still beating
criminals. He wasn't 105. He was in his 50s. That's not 105. That's like a child's age now. 50 is like the new 20.
It was like the...
Yes, it is.
It was like Murder, She
Why would you agree with that, oddly enough?
I didn't. I was just saying, wow, what drugs he's on, I'm not sharing.
It was like Murder, She Wrote for the action crowd. Like
It was a great show.
Yes.
It was a great show.
Murder, She Wrote.
But leave him alone for being an older guy.
I'm just saying. I remember when
we were growing up, everybody was older. Yes, like, remember Barnaby Jones and Strike Force and all those shows where these guys were like mature adult men, you know?
Jones.
Remember Barnaby Jones? You gotta remember Barnaby Jones.
Oh, man, he can do anything, old Barnaby Jones. Even Iron
Matlock? Matlock was 6,000 years old.
And you guys are funny because you're young. I'm remembering him as Jed Clampett and Andy
from
Mayberry.
You go way, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even have that connection.
You guys think Barnaby Jones, and I'm thinking Texas T, you know. Yeah.
Hills, that is.
Yeah.
Man. Moving along about actors.
Move along.
Let's see. In a recent interview.
In the afterlife.
Joss.
Could be heading for the series.
And Kevin, I'm going to go with Feig, F-E-I-G.
Sure, whatever.
Announced that Clark Gregg will be headlining.
Not to be confused with Clark Kent.
Will be headlining the new S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series on ABC.
Oh, lovely.
Clark Gregg would have been the actor who played Agent Coulson in the Marvel movies. Josh says, we all love Clark Gregg. And
so he's
no
got a brother?
About that. But from before we made the Avengers, we discussed whether there was a way for him to be a part of the Marvel Universe. Perhaps a part of a TV show even after his quote-unquote death. The fact of the matter is, as much as we love him, now that I'm really running Marvel, I would like to keep a type of artistic integrity, which means we don't stretch the bounds of reality. However,
wait, did he, Joss Whedon, just say now that I'm running Marvel?
He did say that. That is quoted from him. However, Kevin Feige, president of Marvel Production, replies There was never going to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. show without Agent Phil Coulson. So, Phil Coulson will be in the Avengers.
Now, didn't I say that a couple of weeks ago, that they had made a mistake by killing him if they were going to do a TV show? Because the guy's a TV personality in the first place. Yes. He was on... New Adventures of Old Christine, where he was great. And they killed him off, and now he's, you know, now the perfect vehicle for him. Because that would get people to watch the show. Everybody loved Coulson.
Likeable character, yeah. Well, they brought him into the new Spider-Man cartoon. He's actually in there as Agent Coulson. He's undercover as the principal of Peter Parker School, and it's voiced by the same actor. So you know, people love him.
Gold mine.
I tell you, I don't know about you guys, but I was watching Iron Man the other day. It was on TV, which I hate it when things on TV.
Right.
I shut it and I put my DVD in. Yeah. I don't want to see the commercials.
Good idea.
And then he shows up and I go, oh, you know, now they gotta find a way.
They can't.
You know, they're...
They can't bring him back. He's gonna be his brother. He'll still be named Coulson.
That's right, his twin brother.
He'll be Bill Coulson.
That's what they wanted to do for the Poseidon Adventure. They wanted to make a sequel.
Gene Hackman.
And as they got on the elevator for the beginning of the sequel, Gene Hackman was there helping people on, going, did my brother make it? and Gene Hackman said, no.
Let me tell you something.
Because Gene Hackman has class.
The Poseidon Adventure scared the crap out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I still get chills every time I hear.
Yeah.
Especially that scene when they're walking and they see those people walking towards the front of the boat and they just don't go with them. And they're like, oh, they're all going to die. And you don't really acknowledge those people. You just kind of hear them walking by and whatever, and they're kind of ghostly. And then the whole front of the ship blows up. Creepy movie. That's why I never get on a cruise ship. I would never take a cruise.
The creepy thing for me with that movie was the guy falling up the boat. You know, like
the
stained glass thing.
Yeah,
right. That was wild.
That was a good movie.
That was wild and wacky.
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
Remake was not. Surprise.
Well, way to go, Gene.
Although I do have to say for the remake, well, there was two remakes. There was the made-for-TV remake and the feature film remake.
Uh-oh.
That came out about the same time.
I think I remember that.
The movie remake, I have to say, I have to give them for how they ended it. I was like, wow, I can't believe they actually had the cojones to actually commit to what they did.
But they should have, first of all, it would have been perfectly fine to have called it the Poseidon Adventure.
Right.
Because that's what it was. Just
Poseidon.
But yeah, give me a break.
Because they have the short things for the ADD folks out
there. Yes, because they can't, if they see adventure on the other end of it, they won't go see it because it's too much. It's too much of a commitment of a title.
You don't want to see an adventure.
That's nah, then they're expecting an adventure, and they don't want to start writing.
Some guy with a bullwhip.
Yeah.
There's no guy with a bullwhip in this.
So this way, if it's not an adventure, they don't like it. We could say, we didn't call it an adventure.
Yeah, it's not. We didn't say it was an adventure. We just said we promised you a boat named Poseidon. In fact, we didn't even promise you a boat. The word Poseidon.
It could have been the god. Could have been the god with the Drylon.
Which is why the boat sank, because the god got pissed off and tipped it.
With his
jerks.
Speaking of interviews,
Mr. Segway.
Speaking of interviews,
in another recent interview, Dark Knight Rises co-writer Jonathan Nolan offered his take on the ending of the aforementioned movie. He says, "I've long maintained that if it wasn't for
my brother, I would not have a job in Hollywood. I'm sorry."
Did I say that out loud?
That if you get to about the ending of the movie and where people are passionate about it and arguing about it of what the end of your film means, then that's great. And who I am to put on my opinion into the mix.
So his opinion is he's not going to give his opinion because everybody else has an opinion and he doesn't want to ruin the opinions of other people. Therefore, his opinion is not applicable.
And to elaborate on your statement,
non-applicable.
To elaborate on that statement, Hassan, he says, "This goes back to a conversation that I had with my brother many, many years ago when took his film Memento to the Venice Film Festival.
He made a film about a mint.
Man, they were having dinner with the cast and crew, and he realized at that moment that everyone had a different interpretation of what the film meant." Chris and I, Chris Nolan, still disagree about the end of the Memento. And by the way, So I feel like that's how it should be. So he wants the ambiguous ending that people discuss about for years and years and years to come.
There was no ambiguity about the end of Batman.
But
where is the ambiguity?
Well, talking to people, reading comments online and whatnot, reading the blogs, the ambiguity is, was Bruce Wayne dead or alive at the end of the movie? Because, you know, Michael Caine wound up in the exact same place as it was in his flash, you know, in his dream that he had. It was the exact same scene, exact same place, and then poof, he was there. So they're like, well, was he dreaming or not? There was the ambiguity of what Joseph Gordon-Levitt was supposed to be at the end of the movie. It's you know, some people did not know. Some people did not get it.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt was probably supposed to be Robin because they said Robin.
Or he could become the new Batman.
No, he's going to be Nightwing. If anything, he'll be Nightwing. That's A. Now, B, it's not a dream because Alfred didn't know anything about Selina Kyle. So he wouldn't have known to hallucinate Selina Kyle with Bruce Wayne if he was hallucinating in the first place. He did not know that they were an item at all. So if he was really lost, he would have seen Rachel. If he had seen Rachel, then it would have been a dream. So everybody out there who's listening, stop it. It ended exactly the way it ended. What you saw is exactly what happened. Just like they said about The Sopranos. You know, Tony had a milkshake. He probably farted. And then he got up and left the restaurant. And that was the end of the show. All right? There's no deeper meaning in it. Because if you didn't see it and it didn't imply it or didn't give you symbolism or any other indication of what possibly could have been going on besides the misdirection that you were actually seeing, then if there was a deeper meaning to it, it would have been flawed because there was no indication of it. So it's just bad storytelling. If it's not bad storytelling, it just is what it is. It is what you see. So everybody can stop. That just ends it right there. If Alfred doesn't know who Selina is, except for the jewel thief that he saw in the very beginning of the film, he would not have known to put those two together romantically. Therefore, if he saw her sitting with him, that's it. It's real. Move on.
However, you know, he can't survive the explosion.
It's not a dream.
Nobody can dress up like a bat. And but go around beating people up in the city. It doesn't happen.
Real.
It's not real, you buffoon. It's not. Stop it.
I'm just saying.
Stop it.
What's out there?
Oh, yeah, Spider-Man. There's no way that Spider-Man could have survived a fall like that. Yeah, he's got webs that shoot out of his hand.
That
and
he bought online.
Yeah, that he bought. No, well, depending on which version of Spider-Man is real to you. And come on. And he's fighting a guy turned into a lizard. But no, this could never have happened. Give me a break. It's a superhero movie. Of course he survived a nuclear explosion. Some days you just can get rid of a bomb. Some days it happens.
Good day to get rid of a bomb.
If he had said that, I actually would have had tremendous respect for that movie.
I got your bomb.
This is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Did you have any problem with the ending of Batman there, Charlie?
Not at all.
You knew right away?
Not at all. I figured I'd wait to see the next one, what was going on. Because, you know, the minute that kid walked into the Batcave, you said, oh, okay, franchise. You know, so
franchise.
You
know,
yeah.
Uh-oh, franchise.
Yeah.
Except the reason it ruins everything is because Nolan says right at the start, I'm not going to make any more because I'm an artistic guy and he's making artistic films. I wouldn't have told anyone. I would have just said, I'm not making it anymore. Later, after the fact, after it, you know, took off, I wouldn't have preempted anybody's expectations or, you know, imaginations by telling them right off the bat, this is the last piece you should ever see from the likes of Godwin. It will never happen again. No,
maybe
no.
It's
like, I don't know about you guys, but Star Trek, when Spock buys it, I'm sitting there going, no, he'll be back.
Really?
You know, it's that that Star Trek, when he buys it and they send him off, when just the idea they were sending him to
Genesis.
Which everything.
He'll be back.
Yeah.
I gotta admit, when I was a kid and I saw that, I bought it. I was like, oh, he's dead. Oh.
No. Just when they launched him to the planet, I says, Oh, yeah, Jennison, he's going to reanimate.
Yeah, why would you take his body back home?
Didn't even.
You got to have a morgue in that. In a ship.
Yeah.
Take his body home.
So many people died on that ship.
And his dad, I know. And his dad came in the third movie, was pissed. They didn't bring his body home. So it's not like I'm wrong.
We didn't think about that.
Like I said.
Just launched him off into space.
You know, that's a true, there's no a true starship's, you know, now, just lost him. Into,
as many people had died in that movie, they only launched one guy out. I love those movies that they do that, where like like an entire platoon of soldiers dies in the beginning. And one guy dies, and they have his funeral at the end. Like, all those other guys, Like in Underworld, there's a scene in the fourth Underworld movie where they have this big battle. There's dead vampires everywhere, right? And what's her name brings one guy back to life. Yeah. It's like, all right, while you're at it,
you got a bunch of
to help a couple of the brothers out, right? Yes. You know.
So we learned that the Enterprise does not have bathrooms or a morgue.
Right. There's no bathroom nor morgue.
Yeah. Yes.
So moving on for
and no shuttles. If the transporters burn out, they can't. There's no other way off that ship except for the transporter. Except for the when they remember they have shuttles.
Out the window.
There's no windows.
There's glass on top of the.
There's no glass. It's not glass.
It's not glass.
It's not glass. It's transparent aluminum. It is.
Okay.
Check the specs.
Thank you for being right.
This has been a message from the Geekatron.
Speaking of interviews once again.
Exactly.
In yet a third interview, actor Hugo Weaving had this to say about his future.
I will be Elrond forever.
He had this to say about his future with Marvel films as the Red Skull. He says, I think the tendency with those films would be to probably not bring a villain back. They might for Avengers, but I didn't think I would be in Captain America 2 or even Part 3. I don't think the Red Skull will be there, and it's not something I would want to do again.
Besides, I got all that Elrond money coming in, so I don't really care.
He goes on to say, I did sign up for a number of pictures, and I suppose, contractually, I would be obligated to, if they forced me, but they wouldn't want to force someone to do it if they didn't want to. I think I've done my dash with that sort of film, and it's good to do it and to try it out. But to be honest, it's not the sort of film that I seek out and really am excited by.
He really gets into
as an actor.
I know he does.
To do all sorts of different films is great. It stretches you in different ways. But I increasingly like to go back to what I used to always do, which is to get involved with projects that I really have a personal affiliation with. In other words,
tell me more. Like
he is going to be
car.
With what was that guy's name? Ed Norton. Him and Ed Norton are going to be hanging out in the corner, saying that I didn't want to be in that movie anyway.
I could have been in Avengers too. I could have been a dump truck full of money.
No, he's like, I don't want to play well with others.
I'm Megatron. Why would I want to be in Avengers?
He's made so many high-grossing movies.
Yeah.
He can be like, nah, I don't need the money.
Hugo's
I'll opt out of my contract and take a pay cut.
Hugo's a pretty established dude.
Yeah.
He's doing well. Did I miss the news about your girlfriend? Megan Fox had a baby.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, she had a baby, I think a baby boy. I don't know who. Because she announced it on Facebook, so I'm not well versed in Megan Fox lore, so I don't know who she married, but she just announced today that she had a baby boy.
It would be
in September. I think it's September 25th.
It would be my other Beverly Hills or Brian Austin Green.
Brian Austin Green?
Brian Austin Green.
Really?
Wasn't he Beverly Hills?
Yeah, 909.
And before that, he was in Knots Landing. He was a regular Knots Landing.
Knots Landing, you know this.
Abby's son. And then he went on to the show that was handed off as a
Falcon Crest.
As soap operas would go. Knots Landing handed off the baton of soap operas to Beverly Hills 90210.
Right,
and
did
then
it?
He went on to be on that show, and then he wound up marrying Hot Megan.
And then he declined being on 90210, the offshoot of Beverly Hills 90210.
Because he was busy being on Desperate Housewives, which was the last big-time soap opera.
Right. He was also in Terminator, wasn't he?
Brian Austin Green was not in Terminator.
He wasn't in Terminator?
Not
he wasn't in the television show Terminator?
Oh, that I don't know.
What are you telling me for? Movies. Well, he was in Sarah Connor Chronicle, Terminator, Sarah Connor, you know, hello. I think he was. I believe that he was.
Well.
He was Kyle Reese's brother.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
Not Kyle Reese.
Right.
But Kyle Reese's brother.
Right. Okay.
I have interesting news before we go.
From the desk of Charlie Saladino.
You know how we say series? We were talking about the series that lasted like...
Last week when we were talking about the shows being canceled. Yeah.
Well, I just heard a report on the radio. I don't know when because I work nights, so I don't know what day I heard it. Could have been this morning. But that could have been this morning. That a series never even made it to the TV screen. It got canceled before they did four shows, and it got canceled before because the test audiences walked out on it.
What was the
American show? And the star of the show was Dane Cook.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And I don't know what the show was called because, you know, it was the morning.
I was in that dead area on the sunken meadow.
And it was just, I heard that after four shows, that all the
four test shows, not even the four. They brought in the test audiences, what they do.
And they said the people bailed. They walked out.
Wow.
Could you imagine? You get in for free to see something, and you're supposed to be.
And you walk out.
And you walk
I've never walked out of a film or a show that I paid for. And I certainly have never walked out of. I've never been compelled to walk out of something for free.
I was tempted to walk out of a movie.
I walked out of two things that I paid for.
In my
lifetime.
Really?
In all 57 years.
What were the two movies?
Time Bandits. But then again, I have to say, I saw that on TV and I said, why don't I walk out of that? But the thing I'm glad, and being a musician, I'm not happy to say this, but I went to see my two rock and roll, as far as I'm kings of rock and roll. I call Elvis the Messiah, and the kings of rock and roll in my lifetime were Little Richard. And right. Chuck Berry. I saw they were on the same bill. Mm. So I went to see him. Little Richard was fabulous. I actually walked down on Chuck Berry.
Wow.
Not because he was bad.
He was nasty.
He was, you know, they make him sit in with just studio musicians. And
right.
He was stopping in every one of his songs, in the middle of the songs or in the beginning, because the band wasn't getting it. The band sounded fine to me. He had a bass player, and he had a drummer, right, and a keyboard player. The band sounded fine to me. He would start, and he would start his classics and stop them. And then he would walk over to the guy who supposedly made the mistake. He pushed the keyboard out of the way, the keyboard guy out of the way. He goes, no, it's like this. And he's showing.
Wow, in the middle of the show, right? Wow. Right. While you're watching.
Yeah, and I'm like... He did not. I sat there for five songs, and for five songs he stopped constantly, and I was with my friend Charlene. I just looked at her. I can't. And she looked at me and said, "No, me neither." And we're big.
Let's get out of here.
And we got up and we left.
Wow.
And it was like, and he kept saying to the audience, and the audience was like laughing and everything, like. I'm old. I got to have it right. You know what I'm saying? All right, now that you said...
Also got to entertain us.
Yeah, and then I said, and now that you send race relations back 500 years with that line, because you're the king of rock and roll, you don't have to prove anything. I says, now you're just pissing me off because I came to hear these classics.
That guy
from
had,
a legend.
Had serious... Serious social issues, though.
Yeah,
like it's legendary. His
Keith
issues.
Keith Richards said he's not the easiest guy. They did that big.
Uh-huh. I remember that. I saw that documentary.
Yeah, he said he's not the easiest guy to work.
No,
and these musicians were fine, and I felt so bad for them because he just kept coming up, pushing him away from the keyboard, and then playing. And the playing he was doing was like, Chuck, go play the guitar.
Yeah, get back to what you were doing before.
Yeah, do the guitar. You know, and. Just finish one song, please, Mr. Chuck Berry. Finish one song. And, you know, I got to see him, but it was very disappointing. I still think he's one of the kings of rock and roll. That's
right.
Not going to...
Right.
But, like, you know...
But you caught him on a bad night. You just caught him on a really bad night.
He was just... You know, and they set the stage up like Little Richard had the whole thing, and he goes, I'm pretty, you know, and all that stuff. And he was great. He was in his 70s, and he was great. He looked like a corpse. The way they did the makeup was like all that one thing. But he was Little Richard, and he was right there, and he was doing his hits, and I was in my glory. Chuck came out, the stage cleared, and it was just these three musicians and Chuck, which I said, this is great. This is what it's all about. This is the garage band thing going on.
And it wasn't.
And he just kept stopping. He just, you know, Maybelline, wait. You know, it's like, all right. Down Louisiana, no, hold it. You know, and I was like,
no, don't hold it. Just do it correctly.
It was good. Nobody knew here, right? That guy missed the one note, you know.
Oh, so
anyway, those are the only two things I walked down.
Wow. I've learned something today. And so with that, we're ready for our break there, Trevor?
Segue.
We're right back where we came from the radio.
Hi, this is Anne-Marie. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
I was waiting. No, this is a short one. I was waiting for the wall that was hot.
Should have been a little longer. That wasn't really much of a break.
Well,
yeah.
I don't feel refreshed or replenished or anything.
I was
like
going
that.
Down to 7-Eleven and get something.
Exactly.
Now I heard now that was hot and I got to run back here.
I asked Trevor to play the Power Rangers song because of what happened this past weekend, which was the New York Comic-Con that we went to.
Comic-Con.
And, you know, despite the fact that there were tons of celebrities there, I was mostly interested in meeting the Green Ranger, Tommy, and it turned out to be a very awesome experience, even though I didn't even get to meet him, which is a very interesting little tidbit story.
It's a sad story.
Share.
That's like, now I'm like a little, I'm getting misty.
The con, for those of that people were calling
for the
like
one
crazy
person that doesn't know what it is, that listens
they,
to this
they,
show.
They topped off at 116,000 people for the convention.
And they were all in that hallway.
All Saturday. All of them showed up Saturday.
Yeah, I got pictures of it.
Reports are that there were people with fake badges getting in. They say they caught 300 people with fake badges.
Wow, good going, security.
Going, you know, but that's probably just a fraction of, you know, how many people we got, because it was crazy. I've never seen it that bad. Even in San Diego, it was pretty bad. It's,
well,
comparatively speaking, it's pretty crowded.
I've learned my lesson that I will go. I couldn't make it press day or the day after, which usually I make it one of those days.
The slow
press
day,
you know, because now the new job throws me all off. But press day, I will make forever now, and at least one other day, because
that's not
just
Saturday
to make it on Saturday, especially Saturday, knowing how many pictures I usually take, I took maybe 5 pictures.
It was
because of the crowds. You could not
really
move
something
over to take a picture.
I don't think I'm going Saturdays anymore because A, I never go to any of the events that make going Saturday worthwhile.
Right.
That's A. B, unless I'm working someplace at a booth where I am a table length away from the unwashed masses that roam the halls of that place, it's not worth it. You know, it's not really, I don't really go shopping because there's, I can't get close to any of the booths. I can't get anywhere.
You couldn't get to the booths. Yeah. You couldn't get.
I don't, you know, going to eat, going to do anything conventional. First of all, there's nothing around the convention if you decide.
Right.
Yeah. If you decide to go eat. So you have to, you don't have to, but if you want to eat, you have to eat there.
Yeah.
And you got to go downstairs in that zoo where you can't get a table, where you can't. It's a lot of complaining about like things being crowded. But
Comic-Con guys, the survival guy, they did say to bring your own food.
Bring your own food.
You know, right. Well, that's the thing. And it helps if you're working a booth or something like that, you bring a cooler full of sodas and sandwiches, and you're fine. You don't ever have to go anywhere. But it's just not worth it if you're just a day tripper, yeah. You know, just wandering around. It's not that's not going to cut it.
Yeah.
So
Sunday was so much nicer.
Wasn't it?
It was. It was. It was still crowded, but you could get around. You could walk around. Right. I helped a friend working his booth, so I had some place to kind of perch the whole time and watch people. The problem with Sunday, the problem with working. Retail at the show is that that's not a buying show. Nobody in New York seems to be, and I've heard that from a couple of those people, like nobody really wants to buy anything. A lot of people just came by the booth asking for what's free. What here is free?
Right.
And then you're reluctant to tell them because it's like, well, first of all, you know, do that a little better. You know, do that with a little more finesse. You know, what is free?
Right. Like come in and say, hey, what's this about?
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Here's some free stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And we'll give you the swag, you know, and then you get that kind of banter.
You do your due diligence.
Yeah, and maybe I'll give you a deal on something. But you know, everybody's like, oh, what's free? And then also Sunday they bring, it's Kids Day.
Yeah.
So everybody brought their kids. The kids are running around, grabbing stuff, throwing things around. And, I didn't see any theft. I didn't see a situation of any theft, but they, you know, the parents are not into what the kids are into, so they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they're all skeptical. Everybody approaches you with some kind of skepticism. So as a retailer, I don't know about the New York show. The good thing about it is you're in a booth and you're out of the way of the craziness.
Yeah. I think the problem with being a retailer on Saturday or any of the other days, mostly Saturday, is the crowds. You cannot stop at any booth for more than a certain period of time. So if you want to browse, if you're a browser, like most purchasers, they will browse and they would say, you can't do that. You can't do that because everyone, especially the booths with the pretty girls, you know when you're coming up to a booth where there's gorgeous girls behind there because there's a big cluster F right there. and you can't make it through. You cannot make it through. And that was one of my problems with taking pictures.
Right.
And people were saying, had the big cojones to say, could we take a picture? Come out here. Come out here.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what I was saying. People, if you have to take pictures, it gets crowded. Make sure you're out of the way.
Yeah.
Nobody heard that. And nobody also heard, don't bring big implements.
There was a guy walking around with dragging his suitcase down the aisle.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, that's the guy who hit me in the foot 3 times.
And a guy dressed up as a cardboard box. So he has a giant cardboard box. During the ground, like, all right,
yeah,
it's
people,
a little much.
Like Hassan
but
says, and I
have
say,
to
people
say,
people are stupid.
I have to say, you know, this is, what, the 6th Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, the 6th, number 6? Maybe even more. What was it?
I don't remember.
What was it on the thing? They did a really good job this year.
Oh, they did
a great
job.
As opposed to last year, I think they did a really good job with just organizing, with just, you know, it got out of hand because they sold out well earlier than they thought they were.
Well, that's not the crowds.
Right, it's not, yeah.
And they moved the crowds
They kept it moving. They did. I thought, you know, how they decided to section off. It felt like 3 different conventions because they had Artist Alley in one area. They had the autographing in another area.
Which
in the panels.
Which was excellent this year, the autographing.
It's,
kudos.
So
them.
They did a really good job. So, you know, that's the good. They did a good job. I felt the con was better organized this time than any other time.
Yeah.
However, it was just too many people, so maybe they got overwhelmed.
Yes,
and they'll learn
Saturday,
next year, as they keep on saying. They keep
well,
on
they
learning
didn't,
every year.
They did nothing wrong. The Comic-Con people, they were very well organized. It's the idiots on the floor that don't
use
their mind.
You know, they gotta handle that. You know, if they're going to be doing that side of the thing, they got to anticipate what the idiots are going to do and try to defuse the idiotism.
I think
that's a word.
The big thing is when they're, you know, and there's no way they could foresee this.
Right.
Of all the beautiful ladies that are dressed up at the boots, they can't, because guys are going to pass and say, oh, hey, I need to take a picture of you, because they were stunning.
Right.
This year is the first year, and it's only, I blame myself because I only went one day, that I took maybe 5 pictures, and most of them were our friends at the Comic-Con.
Well, I know
us.
Well, yeah. Carl, the guy who runs the RGG booth, he took pictures of a lot of women, and he's on his Facebook page.
Right.
He's going to send me pictures as soon as I get in contact with him.
They were great, those guys. I like them.
Maria, who was here, she took a lot of pictures.
Oh, good,
she's
good,
be sending,
good. She can put them
on
our Facebook,
page
because she is our Facebook page.
So we have that. That's going to be coming up. It's just, you know, getting us reorganized back to normal, because the convention is pretty grueling.
Right.
And if you have another job and a convention, that's
oh,
a lot.
Tell me about it. And with this thing, as people could see, I'm slacking on getting pictures on there. But Saturday, I've learned my lesson. I'm going Friday.
Yes.
And I'm going, obviously, to Thursday.
And they had a lot of great content. You know, for me, I just wanted to, I didn't intend to do anything beyond meet my Power Ranger and walk the floor. That was my plan.
Yeah.
So I managed to do that pretty well. And I didn't get the entire floor, but we did hit a couple of guys, which I'll mention in a few minutes. But I wanted to tell my Tommy story, my Power Ranger story. So he was only set to stay there. It was Saturday. He was only scheduled to be there for an hour.
Right.
And I was like, all right, so I, you know, even though I'm a diehard Power Ranger fan, I didn't think there was going to be that many people coming to see him. I didn't think it was going to be crazy. You know, I thought it was going to be like 10, 20 people, maybe 40 people there to see him. So I figured if I get there a half an hour ahead, I'll be good. So I get down there half an hour ahead. The line is going one direction and looping around backwards. So my back is to him.
Right.
And I'm going in the wrong direction to meet him. And I'm like, oh, man, this ain't good.
Yeah.
And the guy came out and, you know, they had the crew there and they're like, oh, you know, you might not be guaranteed a line. He's only going to be here for an hour, so blah, 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 blah. And they actually had somebody make a cutoff to where the estimated hour mark was. So they're like, all right, everybody past this point is maybe, but before here, and they had the person stand there with the sign who worked there, you know, a sign says end of the line. That was the guarantee for the hour. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, so I was about 25 people away. So I'm like, maybe if he goes, you know, take a picture, boom, 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 I might get there. Then he starts walking down, and everybody's just chanting, you know, and I felt my brethren of Power Rangerism. Like, yeah, we were yelling, and we were screaming. He was taking video of us screaming, and I'm on the video that he made, and he put on his Facebook page. I'm there. You can see me if you blink. You'll miss me, but I'm there. I'm like, yay! I was all excited. And then he went in, and he's like, he's really big on the fans on his Facebook page. Big on the fans. And then time went on, running out of time. He actually ran up down the aisle, slapping everybody high fives and everything, and you were able to take a picture with him. Only $20, which ain't so bad for a celebrity.
No, definitely not.
And then time went on, and it was about 15 minutes to go. So I waited there about 40 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, this ain't happening. I know that line was still huge. Like, I'm not going to be able to make it to the guaranteed, you know, the guaranteed might not even make it. I'm getting out of here. And I left, and then I found out that he decided to stay for 3 hours to make sure he got everybody on that line.
That's good. That's a guy.
Yeah.
See, don't give up.
But, you know, I had other stuff to do, so I enjoyed the experience of actually seeing he was right in front of me. You know, I got that experience. I felt my love for my fellow Power Ranger fans.
Plus, you knew if you stayed there for 3.5 hours, you would never heard the end of it from me.
And I've always said I'm not waiting in line for more than, you know, 2 hours. Maybe if something's really good, and I think I waited 2 hours to get into the San Diego
Comic-Con. You should have said, I came all the way from Rio Pagode. You got to see me.
So, you know, I missed out, but I did see him. I did, you know, have the little interaction. I'm on his Facebook page. Hooray.
We were all together, you know, Lynette, Maria, and Marianne, and us, and we were good. And then we did the Blue Angel things. We split off, which was a good thing.
And you got to see.
Because we had things to do. And when I went down to look at the way they were handling the autographs, it was brilliant. But the best thing for me was you could take pictures as long as you didn't get off the line. You could take pictures of them from the line,
right?
Which last year
They had giant moms. I remember that.
They had people there, like you know, SS troopers. Like, no, put the camera away. No, don't raise that.
I remember.
You know, because people were going like that, and they'd take your hands off the camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
But this one was like take pictures from the line, and the great part was you didn't have to go someplace else to pay and get the pictures.
Right.
They had the person you paid sitting right next to the person who was going to autograph. So while the person was talking to the people he was autographing to, the lady was collecting the fee for the next group.
See?
And it was great. And they had several pictures there. And Maryam went to, we were going to see Sean Astin. And Maryam went in, and she didn't take a picture. She bought a special edition Lord of the Rings DVD. And we got there, and I took great pictures of him from the line. And we got there, paid, and then we moved on to Sean Astin, and he just was so personable. He was talking to Marianne about the movie business because she's,
right.
you know, she's with the Regal. And it was like we were sitting down having a couple of beers, and then we got high fives from him. And I said, I was telling him about the movie, how it is my favorite movie in the whole world. Oh, thank you. And I said, along with Rudy. And he was, oh, man, thank you so much. And he was like, just such a great guy, and high fives, and it says, great to meet you. And we went on, and we were happy. It was a great experience. It was a great experience. And the highlight of the Comic-Con for me was Marianne was, they had the payloader from Alien right in the lobby.
Yes.
And
for the video game.
You go on a line, and it's free. They take pictures of you, and then They get you, you know, if you want to buy the game, you can. If not, no pressure.
Right.
And they give you the pictures. So one of Marianne's favorite movies is Aliens. So I said, well, we were waiting for you. I said, go online. We'll wait for Mark. Yeah. I'll wait for Mark. You go online. And it worked out well. But just before she gets online, there's a ruckus. And this guy just goes up, climbs into the payloader, and starts yelling lines to the alien. And it's Bill Paxton.
Really?
It's Bill Paxton, and he's going, game over! You know, and he's yelling.
This happened Saturday?
Saturday. And he's having such a great time doing that. And Marianne's going to me like,
take a picture.
Get this! It's Bill Paxton. So I stop looking for him. Stop looking for Mark. I run over, and I take Bill in the thing, like fighting the alien.
That's awesome.
And then he climbs down. And he's laughing, and he climbs down, and he's waving to the people. And he gets out. But the great thing about Bill Paxton was, you know how they take them and march?
Right.
Well, his bodyguard, he sent them to the side, and everybody, he was talking. And it was a lot of room, so he didn't really.
Right.
And he was just talking to people, and he's going, is everybody having fun? What a blast. Did you see this? And he was one of the fans.
Right.
You know? And I got a great shot of him, and he was just a nice guy. And I think that wasn't planned. I think he just saw that there.
Right.
Yeah, and he just ran in.
And
he just happened to be there.
And the people were going crazy on the
line. I can imagine.
And nobody was rude. Nobody, like when he came down, he took pictures with some people.
Right.
And he said, oh, man, I got to go. I'm in this, you know, if you want to come to see me. And he didn't have to worry about, you know.
Yeah.
You know, being a celebrity. He just was a fan. And that was the highlights, plus seeing our friends.
So, yeah.
I do predict that Reed will have to do something eventually about those crowds because it's eventually, and it's not going to be until something unfortunate happens, but something unfortunate is not too far away.
I think
Saturdays are just, it's unbelievable.
And like I said, the implements these people, the cosplays, would bring in.
Right. There's always some stooge with his stupid backpack, you know, or everything, and they just move around. The thing about me is I'm a big guy, so if someone comes at me with his backpack, I'm just... Yeah.
Right.
I was literally shoving people out of the way, and you know.
I was on the other end of that spectrum, you know.
Yeah, so. Being shoved. You're the guy who got my residual.
The guy rolls over with the briefcase like he's coming from the airport.
Yeah, I don't, you know, but not everybody can do that.
Right.
You know, not everybody can stop that from happening or has the gumption to try to do that, which is a
hard line they're gonna have to do. You know, keeping the fans. Everybody had a good time, but it's still that crowd.
Something is going to happen.
Well, yeah, but they're talking about expanding it to go to other places. Like they're talking about using the piers, you know, to have some events over there and using, you know, shuttle buses to take people
this
to
is,
other
this
places.
Is why that's gonna be a logistical crazy.
They could do that in San Diego, but they can't
do it here. It's Manhattan, that's the problem.
I am saying now they can't do that.
They'll have
here.
To extend it to another day and then spread out.
They're
stuff
trying to make it like
Friday
the Olympics, different venues.
You know, I don't know what they're gonna do, but I have to say they're on the right track because they're getting better every year.
They did a great job. I'm just going to say they did a great job.
But the crowds was just, oof.
I just want to say before we finish the highlights, we, of course, Marissa Jade, who is always
That's the love of your life now, right?
Well, she's...
Close enough.
Yeah, she's...
That's one of them. One of them.
One of many.
One of Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
Oh, I was all excited. I just came up on the spot.
Yeah, anyway, your excitement is kind of what killed it
Marissa,
for the two
I'm
of us.
I'm sorry for Mark over here. But anyway, she will be on the show. Yeah. We were talking about it. And she has a lot of big things coming up. And go to her website, www.marissajade.com. And, but she said before she gets into that, she's hoping to make it down to the show. That's great. And as always... Our Rob Longo,
right.
Who was with the lovely Sarah Louise Burns and the lovely Crystal Chow over
Heather
there.
Heather Drew was there also.
Right, and we got to visit and got great pictures. And that's it for me.
I should go see him on
the New Gen guys from last year who had the interview, Mark Hamill, they were there and they did the show only a couple weeks ago. So I ran to them. It's good to see them again. They're like, yeah, we had a great time. And, you know, they're going to come down actually into the studio, which makes good times. One of our favorite guys, Patrick O'Reilly, who
Patrick!
Did Electrolyte and the Purveyors of Justice with one of my favorite supervillains. A superhero is the guy who pays people to not commit crimes. That is the greatest idea ever. He came up with a new book, issue number is that number 5 right there?
Yes.
Issue number 5. So he's going to come back to talk about that. I ran into old
friends. It's actually the Justice Purveyors, by the way. Yes. You said
Purveyors
of
Justice.
Justice,
yes. I also ran into the new guys that are going to be coming down soon. They have a book called High Fructose Zombies, which is a candy bar that turns people into zombies. So I heard them. And I'm like, all right.
I don't want one of those.
I got to talk to these guys. And there was this one guy in Artist Alley who was sitting there. There was people on the right of him, people on the left of him. You know, it was crowded, and he was all by himself. And he put on this saddest little face. It was like, oh, a little sad face. And he had this cheapest little cardboard box sign, and on it it said, "Can you buy my comic?" And then he pulled out another sign behind it and said, "Please." I'm like, all right, I gotta talk to this guy. And it turns out that he made this awesome book, which I have not read yet, but I plan to. It's about a detective. It's called Killing Pikeman. It's about a detective who's chasing after a serial killer, and the serial killer is a monster.
And the art in the book is great, by the way. The art is noir-ish and very stylized,
and
but
it's a graphic
very
novel,
coherent,
so it's,
very
you know,
competent, very, very
call him, get him on the show.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
the
book is fabulous.
We're gonna have him on the show, so I wanted to mention that. And we also ran into the Loaded Barrel guys. They say hi to everybody. They
oh
were
God.
Sad that they didn't get to see you guys.
Oh, my God. We
crazy
I,
over
I,
there.
I tell, last time I go one day. And Saturday, of all places. Yeah.
So, yeah. And, we met the Dominion guys, Alex and...
Alex and Charles.
They were there, and they had a nice little
guys. Friends of the show.
Yeah.
And your guys?
Yeah. And my guys, the RGG comic guys, which we got right. The model, Shanna. She did.
I saw the model.
She did. The Rob got the costume for me. I was impressed. The costume fit her well. He actually had people commenting on how much she looked like my character. I was like, wow, that's awesome. She had a little orangey wig, which we – this is all last minute, by the way, and we got it done.
And was she Caucasian?
Yes, she was.
Oh, thank God.
And she actually was going out and, you know.
And we're saying that because you needed to hear other shows.
Yes.
So let's clear that right up.
Listen to previous shows, you'll understand.
And, you know, Mark Mass has been a friend of the show. He was there. I met him with Atlas Unleashed. And Robert Sodaro, who was a friend of ours for way back, I ran into him just happenstance, and he's going to be on the show again. So we met a lot of people. Old friends is good to catch up, and new people, so they're going to be coming down.
Yeah.
Hassan, what booth were you at? You said you were with working at a table.
I was working the Asylum table, which was John Carpenter's comic book.
Oh, look at that.
And I was working with Steve Ovecki, There's also at the booth, they're promoting the new Dark Child movie that John Carpenter is doing. So that's basically what my Sunday was all about, working the selling issue one of the comic book and selling copies of the poster for the comic book, for the Asylum comic book, and also the posters for the Dark Child.
And one last person I forgot to mention quickly, Brian Ferreira and Jess Ferreira, who was on, you know, used to be part of the show. They were there also after a year hiatus, and they're going to come down and tell their great story of why they were on hiatus for so long. So yeah, it's
an intense story.
Yes,
it's pretty intense.
Good
story.
Good times had by at least by me. Charlie, you had a great time.
I had a great time.
Hassan,
yeah.
Did you have? That's the best we're going to get out of the.
I was there.
Final thought, Hassan.
I hope these are my final thoughts.
Charlie, final thought.
Yeah, I said personally, on a personal note, that this is my third Comic-Con, and it's just so nice when you start knowing people there. You start knowing people there, and you go down to see these people, and they know you.
Yeah.
And especially you're in the dome of the Comic-Con people who love us, and we love them, and especially the two people who are on our show with Kimberly and Kim and...
Yeah, and I actually tried to find Kim. So if you're listening, I tried calling, and they were like, we don't know where she is. Good luck finding her.
They said, we're not even calling. She's busy.
Yeah.
So who was the gentleman who came up?
Lance was the head of the New York Comic Con.
Yeah, Lance.
We've had him on the show last year.
Lance and Kim, and they just did a great job. And it's nice to know they're friends of the show. And thank you for the passes that we gave out,
we'll
and
be
people
out
enjoyed
next year.
Them.
We're going to be doing more next year, so it'll be great.
So all in all, pleasurable, except, you know, for the little thingies here and there.
But they'll get it right. They'll get it better.
And it was great. This year was great.
So that about does it for this week on A Cane from the Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you missed any part of the show, you can go to our website. The website's too bad. www.acanefromtheradio.com. And you can listen to the archives be up in a week or so. And next week we'll have some guests. We'll probably do some movie reviews. We haven't done that in a while. And we'll see you next week.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came from the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.